Thank you, Jerry. And, Joe, we'll see you back at home on Monday night. And right now, we throw the phone lines open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And just as the Blue Jays bats were on full display over their first six games of the month of October, they have disappeared in these last two, scoring only one run. It feels a lot worse than it is because it feels like Cleveland just completely destroyed the Blue Jays in two games here to take a 2-0 lead in the ALCS. They didn't. A 2-0 win last night, a 2-1 win today. These were tight, close games, and the Blue Jays simply could not get it done offensively. Plain and simple. And the Jays now are in a position where they have to win four of the next five in order to advance to the World Series. They need to get the first one first. But you can't look at it that way. You just have to look at it as win a game, win the next game, and things will take care of themselves. They're certainly good enough that if they hit the way they're capable and keep pitching like this, they'll have no problem. But the problem so far has been the hit the way they're capable part. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk across the Sportsnet Radio Network to the bottom of the hour, and then on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, until 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll lead things off with Eddie in Toronto. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? I appreciate your optimism about the Jays, and they are an excellent team, but I haven't seen in a very long time a team like Cleveland that plays so composed and calm and cool when they have a one-run lead or a two-run lead. I think it's going to be very, very difficult to win four out of five games. And I think Andrew Miller is going to go down as a Cleveland legend if they can pull this off and go all the way. He's going to be up there with LeBron and people like Satchel Paige. That guy is incredible. But I'm not very optimistic about this. I just see these guys with a one-run lead or a two-run lead, and they are just composed and just chilled out, and it's no problem, and it's just another day at the office, and they just rely on this crazy, crazy bullpen to get the job done. So I wish them luck. I mean, I'll be rooting for them when they get here, but it doesn't look too good. That's all I got to say.
Okay, Eddie, and I would be surprised if anybody thought it looked good at this point. You're down 2-0. A lot of people say a series doesn't start until the home team loses a game, and that hasn't happened yet. We'll see what happens when the Blue Jays get back home. Nobody expected, I don't think, that the Jays would score just one run total in the first two games. I don't think it's crazy to have expected the Cleveland Indians to have had a very difficult time scoring runs, and they have. They've had not quite as hard a time as Blue Jays have, but they've had a hard time scoring runs, and we'll see what happens when they get home. As far as your take that you've never seen a team so calm, so relaxed when it's up by one run, well, I'm assuming these are the first two games that you've seen the Cleveland play, at least since August when the Blue Jays were here and lost two out of three despite carrying leads late in games. Look, they've been close to perfect, have the Cleveland Indians been in this series. But it's two games old. It's less than 24 hours old. And one hopes that there's a lot left. But in order for there to be a lot left, Blue Jays are going to have to start hitting the baseball. Cleveland's having a simulated game right now on the field. Jeff Manship is starting to throw. This Indians bullpen has really not done anything for the last 5 days other than Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, and a little bit of Brian Shaw. So they need to get the guys some work, and it's happening now on the field. Jeff Manship throwing, and there are four hitters waiting to get in and take some hacks. Really interesting. You don't see this very often, especially during the postseason. We'll continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk continues to the bottom of the hour across the network and to 8 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. The Blue Jays fall 2-1. They're down 2-0 in this best-of-7 American League Championship Series. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Miller's pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. He's done it again. Andrew Miller pumps his left fist into his glove, and why not? As he walks off to the third base Cleveland dugout, slapping gloves there with catcher Roberto Perez.
Yeah, why not indeed? Andrew Miller faced 6 hitters and struck out 5 of them. Again. Just like yesterday, faced 6 hitters and struck out 5 of them. At least yesterday he gave up a hit. Not so much today. He was a huge weapon out of the Cleveland bullpen as the Blue Jays fall 2-1. The Jays have given up 2 runs on 10 hits so far in this series. They have scored, or 4 runs on 10 hits. They have scored 1 run on 10 hits so far in this American League Championship Series, and they are down 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. And we're taking your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Dan in Toronto. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Mike, I just wanted to say, first off, the Cleveland pitching has been absolutely amazing. Like, Tomlin, hats off to Tomlin, hats off to Kluber. They've been absolute beauties. Honestly, they've been pitching amazingly. And Miller, in my opinion, he's on God mode right now. Like, he's pitching amazingly. He's going down and in with the slider, but he's also pitching the corners too. I mean, like, he's locating everywhere. He's just absolutely on God mode. I just don't know what to feel about this series. Cleveland's pitching has been absolutely amazing. Their offense has been all right. Their offense, you know, like, what can we do with Cleveland's pitching? I mean, I just don't know how to feel about this series. I mean, hopefully we can get it started back at home, but I just want your thoughts on, you know, going forward. Like, what do we do? How do we adjust to this this pitching? I mean, can they still be on God mode for another, you know, X amount of games? I mean, like...
Well, yeah. I mean, anyone can get this hot for a week or two, and certainly that's what Cleveland's doing right now. Look, Josh Tomlin, I said it before the game, that Josh Tomlin is the fifth starter on this team, with Trevor Bauer unable to go today and with Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar both hurt. But Josh Tomlin had a 1.69 ERA in September and a whip of .78. He allowed 21 base runners in 26 and two-thirds innings in September. He was phenomenal, and then he went out and faced the Red Sox in the first round and gave up 2 runs on 4 hits in 5 innings. So he has been phenomenal since the end of August, and the Blue Jays ran into a hot pitcher who changed everything around today and threw 3 times as many curveballs as he normally throws in order to keep the Blue Jays off balance. He did a wonderful job. Corey Kluber was Corey Kluber yesterday. So the Blue Jays, I mean, it's interesting that you say the Cleveland offense has been okay in the first 2 games, because, you know, if the Blue Jays had scored 4 runs on 10 hits in the first 2 games of a playoff series, people would have been saying how terrible they were and that it's awful and how can they be this bad. But it's been enough to win 2 games for the Indians, which is, yeah, it's incredible to this point. Yeah, they can stay this good. They generally don't. And the Blue Jays hitters are really good, and they generally won't be held down to this extent much longer, especially when you get home. I can see very easily this series being 2-2 after 4 games. I can see just as easily the Indians sweeping this series, given the first 2 games that they've had. But I really don't think there's any reason to believe that the Blue Jays won't be able to get up off the mat. And, you know, again, they've given up 4 runs in 2 games. All they have to do is not even hit like themselves. Just run into a ball every once in a while, and they're fine.
Yep, yep. Totally agree, Mike.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it. Now Zach McAllister is taking his part in this simulated game. It's a very cool thing that's happening right now. This is something you see sometimes in spring training, almost never during the regular season. And in the postseason here, it's a necessity because none of these relievers have thrown since Monday at the earliest. And I don't even know what the bullpen usage was on Monday. It may have just been Miller, Shaw, and Allen, for all I know. I could look that up, but I don't really feel like it right now. Cam is in Edmonton. Cam, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
I have a few comments. One, pretty lucky to watch the simulated game happening right now. I think that is pretty awesome and smart work by getting their pitchers out there. A couple things is the Jays yesterday, I thought, played a great game. Marco Estrada, one bad pitch, and it cost him, but he pitched a gem. And today, I think Hap also pitched a gem. So we can't get down on our starting pitchers. I think they're competing with Cleveland. I mean, like the last caller said, Miller is something special to watch right now. I think the Jays have to decide whether they're going to commit to his fastball or not and just sell out. Like I heard the guys talk on the radio, and I don't think they're doing that. And going back to Josh Tomlin, you mentioned how his ERA was really 1.26 in September. Prior to September, his ERA was not very good. And
yeah, it was over 11 in August.
And ESPN Radio had said today that he got pushed to the bullpen, and he went back and watched every one of his games and drew a diagram of where he was putting his pitches and what he was doing wrong and different, and came back to the pitching coach and said, this is what I need to do, and convinced his manager to put him back in the rotation. I thought that was pretty special. I'm wondering why today the scouts weren't on his curveball. If he threw 50% curveball, how come they could not pick it up? And then my last comment is about Devin Travis. It hasn't been said, but I don't know why. They think there were seven double plays in the postseason on the Blue Jays. Six of them were to Devin Travis that he hit into.
Hit by? You mean that he hit into?
Yeah, he hit into.
No, I think he hit into four.
Okay. Well, four of the five, the double plays that they hit into, was to Devin Travis. I don't think it was. And I know they say it's an unrelated injury, and that's how you get the roster change from MLB. But I think there's something to be said, and I'm a big Devin Travis fan. If Devin
don't
wasn't 100% before
don't
he played yesterday, I think he did was a selfish move by putting himself in the game.
Okay, that's not what I thought you were going to. That's not what I was telling you to not say. So that's okay. Look. If Devin Travis is healthy enough to play, Devin Travis should be playing. And Devin Travis felt healthy enough to play. Devin Travis is arguably the best pure hitter on this team. He is the only Blue Jay that hit 300 this year. He uses the entire field. He's got gap power. He does a lot of very, very good things. And the Blue Jays are a much better team when Devin Travis is playing. Yes, he grounded into four double plays in, whatever, six games. And that's unfortunate. But Devin Travis, there's no... no argument to be made at all that when Devin Travis is available to play, he shouldn't be in the lineup. He absolutely should. And he thought he was healthy enough to play, and then he hurt his knee again, and now he's out for the rest of the year. And it's unfortunate, and the Blue Jays would be in much better shape if they still had him available to them.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. I want to get to Gibby here before we let the network go. We will continue to take your calls after the bottom of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 2-1 loss in Cleveland.
John, how do you explain what's going on with the offense the last two games?
Well, I know one thing. I mean, they pitch great. I mean, I wouldn't dare take anything away from them. That's for sure. They Kluber last night, you know, one of the top guys in the game. And Tomlin's, you know, he's right up there, the top command guys in baseball, and he faced him early in the year. Same stuff, you know, picking his spots. Used his breaking ball a lot tonight. It was very effective. But really, you look at the two games, both sides. It's been all about pitching. You know, we played a series here earlier in the year, a couple months ago, I think it was. You know, expect more offense, but they were the same kind of games, 2-0, 2-1, if I remember correctly, low-scoring games, and these last two have been just like that. So, you know, the pitching's been great on both sides. That's all there is to it.
Another one? Richard?
Do you feel like your guys are not getting any pitches to hit? Or you know, is the pitching that good on the other side?
Yeah, Richard, you know, in yesterday's game, you know, we put the pressure on Corey. But what the top guys do, they get that knack of working out of that. You know, we couldn't put anything on the board. Today, you know, good piece of hitting by Donaldson. You know, after a hit and run, just score that one run, and that was it. And, you know, they got their big weapons in the bullpen. You know, Miller coming in, you know, they get to a certain point. You know, the Shaw came in, got a big out, and then, you know, Miller, Cody Allen. So, you know, it's a nice recipe for them. But, you know, today, I mean, they held us in check pretty good all day long, you know. But, I mean, you got to give Tom a lot of credit. You know, we've seen him before, he was that good. But, you know, postseason, that's what guys, you know, a lot of guys step up and, you know, really make a name for themselves, and he did that today.
Who else? Andrew?
Being down 2-0 can be daunting. What about your team's fortitude and attitude makes you feel like, you know, they won't have a problem with trying to come back in Toronto?
Well, Andrew, I know this group now. I've been with, you know, this whole group, you know, the last couple years, and that's never been an issue. You know, the same thing happened last year. You know, fell down first two games on the road, came back at it and forced it back to Kansas City. So we won a couple big games at home. So which, you know, obviously we got to do that. I mean, we play good at home. You know, get in front of our crowd. Maybe that energizes us and gets things some things going. But you know, our back's against the wall. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's the way it works. You're down 2-0, backs against the wall. We're not into must-win territory yet, but only one team in history has come back from trailing a series 3-0. It's not at all where you want to be. If you remember last year in the American League Championship Series, the Blue Jays lost the first two games in Kansas City, came home, won Game 3, got blown out in Game 4, won Game 5 behind a brilliant pitching performance from Marco Estrada. And then head to Kansas City, where they lost that Game 6 with the tying run at third base in the ninth inning. And nobody out, and could not get that run home to score. This series is not over by any means. But the Blue Jays do need to start swinging the bats the way they're capable of swinging the bats in order to get back in it, because they have wasted two fantastic pitching performances so far. We'll continue to take your calls as we go. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us as far as the network is concerned here in Cleveland. But stick around, more Blue Jays talk coming up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Game 3 back in Toronto Monday night. We're on the air at 7 Eastern for an 8:08 first pitch. Marcus Stroman and Trevor Bauer. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delich, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays talk continues.
Pitch line to left field deep. Back for it, Carrera. That ball's up, and that ball is gone.
Ball crushed by Carlos Santana in the second inning to give Cleveland a 1-0 lead. The Blue Jays tied it up on a 2-out RBI double by Josh Donaldson in the third, and the Blue Jays did not get another hit. 19 of the last 20 Blue Jays to come to the plate were retired. The only one to reach after the third was Jose Bautista, who walked with two outs, the final batter against Josh Tomlin. Brian Shaw, Andrew Miller, and Cody Allen perfect out of the Indians' bullpen, and the Blue Jays lose it by a score of 2-1, again wasting another tremendous pitching performance. Each team has only 10 hits in this series through the first two games, but it's been Cleveland with four runs, two in each. And the Blue Jays with just one. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Jays are down 2-0 in this American League Championship Series. And Mike Clevinger is now on the mound in the simulated game that's being thrown right now. Clevinger is supposed to start Game 4 on Tuesday night. But he's been used out of the bullpen, not stretched out, really not expected to go terribly deep. Nothing's going to matter if the Blue Jays don't start hitting. And we shall see. We are taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to Julia in Toronto. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me. Love the show.
Thank you.
Ah, man, I just want to talk about that umping. I don't know what to say about the pitches on the outside corner. I feel like they're kind of circling the plate, and then we're always ending up, you know, that comes back to bite us. We're down the count, and then we're really fighting an uphill battle to come back from that. How come you feel that's happening? Like, why are they giving them that call?
This has nothing to do with the umpiring.
No,
Blue
Jays
scoring
so?
One run in two games has absolutely nothing to do with the umpiring. I think we all get a little too into that strike tracker box and take it as absolute gospel. It's not. I only saw a couple of calls that were badly miscalled tonight. I think that, they're not hitting, and it's not because of the home plate umpire.
Okay. Man, because we're always seeming to be behind in the count, right? And then how do you come back from that? We never seem to be doing that.
They're behind in the count because they're facing really good pitchers who are throwing strikes.
That's
the way it works.
The
way you come back from that is you trust in yourself and know how good a group of hitters these are, because this is an extraordinary group of hitters. Mm. And you know, it's tough to keep them down for very long.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think it's a matter of changing the strategy? It's just you got to go with what you know, not changing it up and hoping that something can come from that.
Look, you're one of the final four teams in the major leagues of baseball. You were one of the four best teams in scoring runs in the league this year, and the one of the two best teams in preventing them. So I don't know why you would want to change anything.
Okay.
Oh.
And how do you feel about how it's looking? Like, you think they can go for three at home, or probably not? They'd be lucky to get two.
I don't know why you would think they'd be lucky to get two. Why would you think that?
I don't know. Just the way it's
how did you think
out.
This? Let me ask you. How did you think this series was going to go before game one, before last night?
I was hoping, because the pitching, it's been stellar, as you've been saying. Estrada, Happ, they've been doing their job. So you'd think they'd at least have split it in Cleveland, you know?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. I think there were a lot of Blue Jays fans who thought the Jays were going to sweep this series and win it pretty easily.
No way.
One of the reasons this is so disappointing after the first two games. But the question I have, and not for you, I guess, who you were hoping for a split, the question I have for a lot of people who thought the Blue Jays would win this series easily is, well, if you thought they were going to win four in a row when it started, why can't they win four in a row now? And they don't even have to win four in a row. Look, these are two very evenly matched, very good teams. And the Indians have won the first two, but that doesn't mean they're going to win the next two or the next one. We'll see. We'll see what happens when the Blue Jays get home. But certainly the pitching has maintained and the hitting has gone completely in the toilet for two games.
Mm.
But it's just two games.
Okay.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose it 2-1. They're down two games to nothing. Dave is here in Cleveland. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike. Happy to be on. I really respect your analysis. I just wanted to give you a little bit from section 455, row A, directly above and behind home plate. I think Joe Siddle might, or Mike Siddle might have been sitting right underneath me. Anyways.
Joe Siddle. You were right the first time.
Yeah, sorry. You
were upstairs? You were up top?
I was the first row directly behind home plate, seats 10 and 11, section, I think it's 455. You know, I'm new to this park, progressive, anti-progressive field, but whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea where the sections are either. But you were probably right above, like, either the ESPN guys or Joe. You might have been right over Joe Torre, in fact, because he's two booths to our left.
I might have been. We tried to look over, but it's a little bit of a big drop. You know, you don't want to risk that. But I was looking down, and I mean, I agree with you. You know, as a former player, I would never say that the umpiring is against the Jays, but it just seems that when it becomes competitive, and, you know, you have Andrew Miller, who has that devastating low and in slider to righties that just no one can hit, but then you give him an inch on the outer corner that's a close pitch, and then you give him an inch and a half, and then you bring in Cody Allen, who misses by 3 inches, and you give him that strike, and all of a sudden it's almost impossible. I watched Jose foul that fastball, inside fastball off in the ninth inning there. I think it was his second strike. And if he hadn't moved about an inch closer to the dish every at-bat that he took, he might have actually had a chance to hit it, but he basically had to bring his hands in across his chest and hit it off the handle of the bat. So it gets frustrating as a Jays fan seeing that missed when it's important often. I just, you know, I'll listen to you on the radio, but I'm wondering if you could say something with that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, there's a Twitter account that I follow called @BlueJaysUmp, and there's one for every team in the major leagues, and it shows when there are pitches that miss, more so than the it shows when there are egregious pitches that miss. There were none from Andrew Miller, and there was one from Cody Allen, and it was against Edwin Encarnacion, the strikeout that Edwin was not happy about, where he probably should have walked, and that pitch was an inch from the edge. But again, this shows no bad calls with Andrew Miller on the mound. So, you know, you're looking from maybe straight behind home plate, as you said, but from a long, long way away, there was certainly nothing 3 inches off the plate that was called a strike. Nothing an inch off the plate, an inch and a half off the plate that was called a strike. Tomlin against Bautista in the sixth threw a pitch that was 1.6 inches low. That was called a strike. That should have been a ball. But there's nothing with Miller. And I think that we become inclined to look for the conspiracy theory. Look for everybody's against us. The umpires don't want to give us a break. It's generally not the case. And again, it is very tough to hit when you don't know what a strike is and when you're not sure. I mean, the Vic Carapazza game back on Canada Day was horrifying and a terrible zone and all that stuff. This was certainly nothing like that. The Blue Jays are not hitting because they're not hitting. And they're not hitting because Andrew Miller is just on another planet right now. It's not because of the home plate umpires. Costa is in Scarborough. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Michael.
Thank you for calling.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, I'm baffled with Mr. Pillar. You know that on the outfield, you know, he's the Superman. He's, you name it. You know that. He's lights out. Now, isn't this logical that on the plates, around the bases, when he gets on base, this guy should have been ending up at third? This guy should have at least 60 to 70 stolen bases a year. It's like he's a totally different person when he's on base and when he's in the outfield.
It's interesting that you've decided to call about this tonight when he didn't reach base at all. But
no, I understand. I understand. Yeah. I didn't mean when he doesn't reach base. That's understandable. Absolutely. But when this guy's on base and he's on first, like, don't you notice that he's got another speed going out in the outfield? And, like, this guy should be... Raji Davis ended up in third. Okay? I understand.
Yeah, Raji Davis.
Base. I don't know. I understand that.
Yeah. It's very different. And I understand. And there are a lot of guys who have great foot speed and are not great base dealers. Kevin Pillar has led the Blue Jays in stolen bases each of the last 2 years. The Jays are a team that doesn't run a lot, but it's very different getting a jump on a ball and tracking down a ball than stealing a base, I think. But Kevin Pillar is a pretty good base dealer.
No, but Mike, he should have been at least 40, 50 stolen bases a year.
I don't think that's true. Nobody really steals 40 or 50 bases a year anymore. I think Raji Davis had 43, I believe, and that led the league. This year, Raji Davis is an incredible base dealer. Kevin Pillar has not yet become an incredible base dealer. I don't know if he's ever going to have a 40 stolen base season, but he's got 20, and he's certainly capable of stealing 20 or 30.
Right. Next question. Do you think this 7 days off has...
When was there 7 days off?
Well, when they had between the ALDS and the ALCS starting.
4 days off.
Was it four?
Yes, Sunday night they played, and then they played on Friday night.
Okay, even a 4 day off, okay?
Yep.
Do you think the bats could have gotten cold? Because like one of the announcers, sportscasters from TBS, I don't know who it was. I'm not sure. Was it Ron Darling?
I have no idea. I'm not listening.
And
to
he
TV
said
broadcast.
At one time, he goes, when you have those many days off, you got to keep playing. Everything goes cold. Do you agree with that? Or
nobody wants that 4 days off ever. But again, there are teams that do come off after the All-Star break and score runs. The Cleveland Indians had 3 days off, and their bats have gone cold as well. But this is a group of very good hitters, and part of the playoffs is time off. You know, part of playing in the playoffs, every team has to deal with it, is you get a lot more time off than you're used to doing. And you have to be able to handle it. Otherwise, you're going to lose.
I'll tell you, if I had $1 million for a bet between Cleveland and Boston, no way on this solar system I would have had Cleveland taking them in three straight.
Mike, no, I don't think anybody
would have. Pitching.
Well, pitching is pretty good. The Blue Jays pitching is pretty good too, but it has to do with shutting down good hitters, and that is exactly right as far as what's going on here in this series. Thanks for the call. Interesting bringing up Kevin Pillar's base stealing, but sure, hey, if you want to talk about it, no problem. For a lot of people, I think that's preferable to talking about the fact that the Blue Jays have scored one run on 10 hits in the first two games of this series. They trail the American League Championship Series two games to none. Josh Donaldson is 3-for-8 in this series. He has 30% of the Blue Jays' hits, and he had their last hit today, an RBI double with two out in third. He spoke to the media after the game. Here's Donaldson.
How tough is it to face that snap that you've been facing so far?
Oh, they've done a good job. You know, they've executed. Got ahead of a lot of accounts and was able to put a lot of guys away when the time was needed.
How important are early runs against their starters since because of the way Miller has been throwing?
I mean, every run right now is important, whether you get it in the first or the ninth. It would be nice to kind of jump out and get a lead pretty early. But, you know, that hasn't been the case so far.
Offense seems to have gotten a little cold. Do you think the layoff had anything to do with that?
No, I don't think so. I think they just executed. I think they've done a good job. You know, we're going to have to regroup, get, you know, focus in, hone it in a little bit more. And, you know, we faced them 2 days in a row. We should know what they're kind of trying to do against us. And hopefully develop a better approach.
Andrew Miller has 10 strikeouts against you guys. What makes him so good?
I mean, he's got a good fastball. He's got a good slider. You know, he's able to, even when he gets ahead or behind in some counts, he's able to throw some sliders that are, you know, pretty good pitches. I think he just makes quality pitches, and he's deceptive. So he's good. I mean, I don't have to sit here and tell you how good he is. Everybody knows that.
They haven't had more than one hit in an inning yet. Two games, and yet they're up 2-0. That's a pretty odd thing to see happening. Second opportunity lost in a way, or
I mean, we've pitched well. They've pitched well. They've done enough to score enough runs to win the games, and that's what matters. You know, like I said, hopefully we get a better idea these last couple of days of what they're trying to do, and get a better approach, and you know, hopefully you know, be ready for game three. You know, he changes speeds pretty well, and he attacks the zone, and he throws strikes, and you know, he uses all quadrants of the strike zone, which is you know, something that he does a good job at.
With their bullpen pitching so well in these first couple of games, does it give you guys a sense of urgency to score runs early in the game?
We feel like we can score against them. I know we haven't done much, but we feel like we can score against those guys. You know, we still have some games left, and you know, we still feel confident that we can score against Miller and whoever. You know, we've done it before in the past, and you know, we feel like we can do it again.
Going home to the Rogers Center, do you think that'll help you guys?
We hope so. You know, I mean, we know it's going to be, you know, pretty fun and exciting for when we get in front of our fans.
That's been kind of the story of this team this year. When you guys hit, especially when you hit home runs, the record's unbelievable. When you don't, it's a whole different story.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, we have to hit homers to win. I mean, then I guess that's the case. I mean, I don't know. We scored a run today. We didn't hit a homer.
the fact of the matter is, I think we just need to do a better job of, you know, having a better plan and approach, and I think we will. We don't face these guys a lot during the regular season, but now we've got a chance to face them 2 days in a row now, and so we should have a pretty good idea going into the third game.
Do you think that was ball four in Edwin in the ninth?
I haven't seen it. You know, I just had a side view. I'm not going to sit here and talk about balls and strikes. That's not my job.
There's Josh Donaldson. Last question there. Do you think it was ball four to Edwin? It was ball four to Edwin. It was a bad call. But you know what? The Blue Jays had one runner reach base after the third inning. That's why they lost this game. One man reach base after the third inning, and it was a walk to Jose Bautista in the sixth. Josh Donaldson is 3-for-8. He's doing his part, but he has 30% of the Blue Jays' hits, despite only being 11% of the batting order. Jays are down 2-0 in the American League Championship Series. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Donald is in Las Vegas. Donald, a frequent contributor to Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Mr. Mike, nice to talk to you. Just wanted to say, not glad to be down 0-2, but glad to still be watching Blue Jays baseball this late in October.
Right. It's better to be down 2-0 in the American League Championship Series than to be 26 other teams in the major leagues.
And for those of us that watched for 2 decades without getting this far, other than last year, you know, it's pretty exciting. Just wanted to say we got Rajay Davis today. Reminded me of Dalton Pompey last year, the way he just took over a game with his legs. Quick question. Have we had a better left fielder since we let Rajay Davis go?
Well, Michael Saunders was an all-star this year.
Yeah, okay, but over 2 seasons of work, he had a great he's an all-star on a half a season, right?
Davis is a weapon.
He's got one real weapon that can be used and employed in situations like that. And it's just frustrating to me that we haven't been able to employ our weapon yet, you know, getting Pompey in late in a game or even in the middle of a game. You know, now that we got Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins, you know, getting someone on in the fifth or sixth and playing for that one run if the games are going to be this tight.
Yeah, I will never think that it's a good idea to play for one run in the fifth or sixth inning. It just doesn't make any sense to me with so much game left, and it's unfortunate. Yeah, the Blue Jays haven't been in a position where they've had a man on late and to use Pompey as that speed weapon, but Roberto Perez is a really, really good throwing catcher too, so it's not necessarily an automatic. But the Blue Jays haven't been in a position to use Pompey, and Rajay Davis did a terrific job in the third inning and stole that base off of Jay Happ completely and moved up on the wild pitch, but he would have scored on the from second on the single anyway. Rajay's a wonderful weapon. He is, and he's great to watch. He has not really been a very good everyday player in the major leagues for the great part of his career. He's wonderful to have around, but I don't think Blue Jays fans should be lamenting the fact that he was a Blue Jay 4 years ago and he isn't anymore.
I'm just not sure that we came up with that significant left field upgrade that we thought we were going to do when we, you know, when we let him go to Detroit. I mean, I don't think we've had a, what you would call a, you know, a core left fielder.
Yeah, you're right. They haven't. And again, he left. They didn't let him go. And I think that's an important distinction that needs to be made. People talk all the time that when a free agent goes elsewhere, that his original team let him go. That's not the way it works. It's completely within the control of the player and not the team. I think there's an argument to be made that in 2014, Melky Cabrera was a pretty good left fielder for the Blue Jays. And I think at the end of last year, Ben Revere was a pretty good left fielder for the Blue Jays. And the first half of this year, Michael Saunders was a pretty damn good left fielder for the Blue Jays. But yeah, and all of whom better than Rajay Davis ever was as a Blue Jay. But there hasn't been one guy come and take over the position and be awesome. It's true.
And it was just hard to feel like he burned us today, because he definitely got us today.
Look, the Blue Jays scored one run today.
Yeah.
Rajay Davis is not the reason that the Blue Jays lost this game. He's just not. He's not. I appreciate the call, Donald.
Do you think that we go back to? You think we go back down 3-2? I think we go back to Cleveland.
I don't know. I mean,
force a tie in game six.
It's hard to believe that they don't come back to Cleveland, but they have to start swinging the bats. Plain and simple. They have to start swinging the bats. Thanks for the call, Donald. Let's move on. Patrick is in Stratford. Patrick, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. Go right ahead.
I was just wondering if you or anyone can explain why the Blue Jays can make guys like Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish look like they're throwing batting practice pitches, and then a week later let some nobody like Josh Tomlin look like Nolan Ryan.
It's crazy, isn't it? Josh Tomlin's not a nobody. Josh Tomlin's got an ERA under 2 for the last 6 weeks. He's been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. A whip of .8 as a starting pitcher over, I don't know, close to 40 innings is phenomenal. So,
true, but career, he's over 4.
Yeah, but sometimes guys get hot. And when guys get hot, they can be really, really good. And Josh Tomlin is pitching really, really well right now. But it is an impossible question to answer. And I know that's what's been most vexing to many Blue Jays fans all year long. Like, guys you expect that the Blue Jays would absolutely just pin their ears back, completely shut them down. And that's what happened tonight with Josh Tomlin.
For sure. So is there any... What about going into that bullpen game that's supposed to be either games 3 or 4 there? Is it going to be the same, do you think, or do we even have a chance here?
Well, of course they have a chance. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that the Blue Jays don't have a chance. They've allowed 4 runs in 2 games in this series. And I get that, you know, people are down and whatever, and that's fine. I don't expect anybody to be happy with being down 2 games to none in a best-of-7 series. But, of course, they have a chance. All they have to do is start hitting the way they're capable of hitting, the way the 2016 Blue Jays hit for most of the year. They don't even have to hit the way the 2015 Blue Jays hit, and they'll be right back in this series.
All right, my man. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Let's get to one more call before we go. It'll be Tony and Maple. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I think the problem here is a couple of players are not hitting.
Everyone's not hitting.
No, not true, Mike. That first game, we had 6 guys on base, and it was 2 guys that, or 3, you could say that, well, Bautista was striking out, but 2 guys were consistently hitting into double plays. And we'll say what it is. It's Travis and Martin. That guy.
Okay. Travis and Martin combined hit into one double. Have hit into one double play in this series.
The guys on. So they were hitting that pitcher very good. It's not that their pitching was outstanding. It wasn't. It was mediocre at best. Okay. Our pitching was phenomenal.
Okay, but not as good as Cleveland's.
Not ours. I think was better than Cleveland. It was their closers that saved their butt. Okay. Or the Jays would have had him. And I think what we got to do is we got to switch this lineup. You can't put everything on Donaldson's back right now to win when he's only batting 2nd. If you're going to put it on his back to win this for us, he's got to bat 4th or 5th. And at least this way, they can't pitch around Eddie. Bautista will get better balls to swing at with the threat of Donaldson coming up.
And so then Donaldson will come up less often than...
No, Mike, you know what? You're not a know-it-all. I know you're probably going to cut me off again like you always do. Anytime anybody differs with you, you put them on hold, and so no one can hear us talk. Maybe you should listen to the fans that allow your show to be on.
Tony, you're very upset, and I am going to cut you off, but not because you're disagreeing with me, but because you want to yell at me, and I'm not interested in dealing with that, and I shouldn't have to deal with that. So if you want to come and have a civil conversation, then you're more than welcome to call Blue Jays Talk anytime. If you want to call up and call me names, you're not going to last very long on the program. So apologies to the rest of you who had to hear that. But unfortunately, civil discourse, not always the way things go, especially when a team has lost a couple of playoff games in a row. I'll say this. You want your better hitters hitting as often as possible. You want them as close to the top of the lineup as possible so that when the lineup turns over, they get to hit sooner than your weaker hitters. Josh Donaldson is one of the Blue Jays' better hitters, very clearly, and it's much better for the Blue Jays to hit him higher in the lineup than to bat him 5th. Anyway, the rest of you were good, so thank you for that. We'll do this again on Monday. We're back on the air with a pregame show at 7 for an 8:08 first pitch. It'll be thrown by Marcus Stroman. Blue Jays are down 2 games to none in the ALCS, and they need a win pretty badly. See if they can get it at home. See you Monday.